So you ready to do this? All right, let's roll with the news.
It's time for the most insightful wrestling show today. Wrestling Weekly is on the air.
Are we ready?
I'm very excited.
Please join us in the chat room at WrestlingWeekly.com to submit questions for tonight's guests.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Doc Young.
He is my friend.
And the inimitable Les Thatcher.
He's a legend. He's one of the greatest of all time.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly.
The most dominant force in this business today.
And it all starts tonight.
Yeah.
We're the stars of this piece of...
And now, your host for Wrestling Weekly, Doc Young and legendary Les Thatcher.
Did 15.5 mil.
Yes.
Okay. But it needs 41 million to break even. And that's after production, advertising, and promotion.
Really?
Yes. And, of course, it won't hit that even with its European market, foreign market, and DVDs, I don't believe. And if it does, I'll miss my guess. I can't believe that they expected it to break even. Again, I think you've got a core audience. I say I want to see it because I know John. It seems like it'd be, you know, entertaining. When I say entertaining, I don't mean Academy Award winning entertaining, but for me, entertaining, like, you know, watching my son play Pee Wee football or something. It's just, but, you know, I don't know what they expected, but I notice they're still running promos for it.
Yeah.
Okay, whatever. You know, it's their world. We're just passing through it.
True. We were having audio technical difficulties just a moment ago. So if you're in the chat room and you missed the first couple minutes of the show, we made some Britney jokes about Britney Spears getting divorced.
but we are making jokes about technical difficulties. If you are listening to Wrestling Weekly, then we're having difficulties. It's pretty much goes to the territory.
Yeah, we're always having difficulties.
Doc is the mad scientist and can't seem to get it right. I don't know.
I got the test tubes mixed up.
Okay.
But, yeah, they were
Your mother had mentioned that, too.
our live listeners were not getting audio just a moment ago.
Okay.
So that was the problem. And, okay, so let's do it all over. Les, happy anniversary. It's your fourth anniversary.
Yes, it is. And I did not go to Cyber Sunday, and I don't guess I missed a bunch. You know, the truth, when the shows are in town, I go down and visit during the afternoon and socialize backstage, and then I come home anyway. I seldom stay for the shows. It's true. You know, I mean, I honestly, when it's free TV, it's obviously more comfortable watching it from my living room.
Right. Absolutely.
And the pyro is increasingly loud
in
the back all the time. So.
And you can see better anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Guys, I want to tell you, we have a new chat room now. If you're using MIRC, just go to Pound Wrestling Weekly. That's our new chat room. Come on in and join us if you're listening to the feed now. We were about to just get into some of the news of the week. Les, I did catch, you had sent me an email last week. You said NWA Pro Summit Wrestling was going to be on MAV TV on Saturday. So I took a look at it, and it was pretty good.
Yeah?
Yes, I liked it. They had, I think the first match that I saw that I tuned into had Colt Cabana in it, and he's one of the guys I mark out for. So
Colt's one of the more frequently booked indie guys. And while you're on that subject, well, go ahead, finish up about the NWA. That's on MAV TV along with Deep South, which is the WWE developmental. And then they've got a third show, I think, coming up somewhere, some way, somehow.
Hopefully. It's starting to be a really good channel for wrestling fans, especially, you know, alternative wrestling promotions.
What is, you know what, in this day and age, I don't even know what alternative wrestling is. I have no idea. No one's hit it as far as I'm concerned. What to me, alternative today is actually professional wrestling.
Yeah.
That's the alternative to all the gaga going on.
This is what the NWA show was. And they had actually, Sean Waltman was on the program.
Yeah.
And he actually came out to DX music.
All right.
Which I thought was kind of odd.
Okay. Well, you know, that'll last until somebody in WWE finds out.
Exactly.
That'll be over.
I don't know if
talking about new wrestling programs.
Yes.
Okay. Last call for free tickets for Wrestling Society X. If you are interested in attending their tapings, that was to be aired obviously next year, their taping this week, you can go to www.iwantmywsx.com and see about free tickets. There's a morning session which starts at 10 a.m. That's West Coast time and Pacific Coast time, and then 4 p.m. is the afternoon sessions. I have a list of the wrestlers that are going to be on those shows, and that's this week that they're taping. Vampiro, Sean Waltman, Jack Evans, Matt Sydal, Lizzie Valentine, whoever that happens to be, Teddy Hart, The Human Tornado, Youth Suicide, okay, Chaos, Aaron Aguilera, Luke, Alcatraz, Masato Yoshino, I guess.
Yoshino,
yes. And Genki, pronounce it for me.
Horiguchi.
Thank you. You tell me, you see I'm really up on my Japanese. Those guys are from Dragon Gate, I think, too.
Yeah.
Which I've never seen, which is a hybrid of Chicharo, Flip Flop and Fly, Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey, and among other things. Stephen Landon, Ruckus, and also another list of names, Josh Abercrombie, Scorpio Sky Andrews, Ricky Banderas, B-Boy, Tyler
awesome.
Black, Colt Cabana, Little Cholo?
Cholo. Little Cholo.
You know all these people.
Mm-hmm.
You are. You have nothing better to do with your life. Okay.
I am up on my wrestling.
All right. Sarah Del Rey, Vic Grimes, the lovely Lacey.
Wow.
Disco Machine, Jimmy Jacobs.
Yeah.
Your idol.
That's my boy.
Quicksilver, Joey Ryan, and Babby Slim.
Baby Slim.
Baby Slim, excuse
yeah.
me.
Do you remember the...
Does anybody spell actually from the dictionary anymore?
No.
Is that just not cool?
Not in wrestling.
To actually spell things the way they're written.
But the guys are picking up for this Wrestling Society X. A lot of them were from the Midwest. You got Tyler Black from the Chicago area, Colt Cabana, of course, from Chicago, Lacey's from Minnesota, Jimmy Jacobs is from Michigan, Josh Abercrombie, who was at our... No Second Chances indie show last month.
Yeah.
He wrestled in our show. He's from Michigan. B-Boy I've seen live, too. And that guy, he's brutal. He's small and stocky, but he's brutal in the ring. He's from California.
Brutal and what? What you're talking about slice and dice? Is that
no,
what
no, 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 no. He's just a hard hitter.
Oh, okay.
Everything he does looks good. But, yeah, a lot of these guys coming from the Midwest, so I'm happy about that.
Well, actually, they're coming from all over, right?
Oh, yeah, all over.
Yeah.
But
so, anyway, and then that starts next year. Well, I don't know if it's sure, January, February.
I believe it's January, but...
And, of course, well, it's going to be... I know this is going to be run on MTV 1, 2, Trace, which is their Spanish-speaking... And on their website. So, a lot of exposure. And, of course, from our MTV special a few years ago... Their repeats will be over and over and over and over, which is not bad as far as exposure for the kids.
Right. So. The tapings are going to be November 11th to the 16th.
Okay.
At well, they're going to be in Los Angeles, actually.
Yes. Somewhere. In a yeah. And so anyway, that cranks up for next year. And
that's weird, though. Have you ever seen somebody do like that?
Have I ever seen what?
Have you ever seen a promotion do that, tape a whole season's worth of
no.
shows in a week?
It's not. Now, doing like a month's worth of TV at a time is not unheard of.
Right.
We did that in Smoky.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a lot of companies have done, you know. I remember when I first worked for the Barnett Doyle promotion over in Indianapolis, back in the early 60s, they did some similar like that. They now they had like Detroit had its own TV, Indianapolis, Cincinnati, but then they did a what I guess was their what they considered their syndication, and they would do like shows at a time. But no, this well, of course, and realize this is only a half hour show.
Right.
So you're talking about a season. That's 6.5 hours, 13 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not too hectic.
No, no. But anyway, it's going to be something. You know, more wrestling is a lot of people from your generation talk. Well, there's a lot of wrestling on TV. When I first started watching wrestling, we used to get shows from New York, Chicago. Kinescopes, those were the before tapes and DVDs and all that sort of na-na. We used to get kinescopes out of California, Texas. We had a live show here. We got two shows out of Chicago, two out of New York wow. For a week.
On the same network?
When wrestling was red hot in the 40s and in the late 40s and up to the mid-50s.
Was this on the same network, or?
But you got to realize how many I think we had three stations.
Right.
In this entire on my television, compared to 900 and some now.
I think it was NBC, CBS, and Dumont.
Gosh, I you know what? I don't even remember. Dumont was one of them. Yes.
Dumont was the big wrestling.
But then we had local wrestling, studio wrestling here in Cincinnati. I'll have promotions out of Columbus. Did studio wrestling in Cincinnati, WLWT Cincinnati, WLWD in Dayton, and WLWC in Columbus. Al Haft, at one point, that promotion, based in Reynoldsburg, Ohio, just outside of Columbus, a suburb of Columbus, booked up from, what I watched the kid, but in talking to some of the old-timers that worked in this territory, he booked up 70 wrestlers. Yeah. He was running two, three shows every night.
Man.
So, yeah, well, they covered Ohio, Michigan, West Virginia, Kentucky, and Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
You know, five states. And far as cover, let me explain something about the coverage here, because Jimmy Crockett Jr. told me this one time when they were considering expanding outside of the Carolinas and Virginia, that right here in the state of Ohio, within our borders, there was larger population in this state than the entire Mid-Atlantic territory, which covered both Carolinas and a portion of Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of their thought here was if you were based in Columbus, to all four of the borders, you've got, you know, less than 150 miles in some, you know, no more than 150 miles in any one direction. And that kind of saturation for you, this was back, you know, when territories were running. And there was a thought of, you know, this territory died way back. And it was always run then just by other, you know, outside promotions out of Detroit, so forth and so on. Once Al Haft closed his doors, which was, wow, when was that? Early 60s, I guess.
Yeah.
Or something like that. So.
Well, on with the news. A couple wrestling legends passed away this week, and it's real sad.
Sputnik Monroe.
Sputnik Monroe.
Yes.
Passed away. I believe it was on Friday.
Yeah. Spuddy Roscoe. I remember before I first met him because when I first met him was the first time I worked with him. It was 1963 in Wichita, Kansas. I was working the Kansas Territory. Spuddy was born, I believe, was in Dodge City, Kansas. But anyway, he wasn't working the territory. He was passing through the territory. And the thing that here was an old timer, carny wrestler, take on all comers guy, just a tough son of a gun. Probably not technically one of the best ever, but he was never bashful about helping young guys.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was always extremely helpful to the kids. And I worked with him in Wichita, first time I ever met him. Now I remember him telling me, now, when you get ready to backdrop me, when you make your comeback, he said, when I set up, you set up for that backdrop, you put your hands on my thighs and you push.
Right.
And I'll never forget this because I don't know if anybody ever seen anybody get any higher on a backdrop. But I mean, I helped. He pushed off himself, and I helped elevate him. And once I knew his weight was off of me, I took a step and a half forward to catch my balance and turned. And he was still two or three feet off the ground. He hadn't hit yet, and I thought, my God, I've killed him.
Right.
I mean, you know, huge bumps. And, you know, he was big in the South. He was big in integrating in a, you know, a social role in Memphis, because he was a guy that, you know, there was a time when, even when I wrestled back then, that, you know, they wanted the blacks, there was the black section.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted the buildings integrated. He was big. He was Dusty Rhodes before Dusty Rhodes,
right?
For your generation, who's Sputnik did, you know, came across like, you know, he crossed the race lines in terms of being. I mean, he was over, you know, with the minorities, as probably stronger as a babyface than ever, you know, than as a heel, simply for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
But a good guy, and I last saw him in Mobile at the Old Timers Gulf Coast reunion that we do down there the first weekend in March every year, and just the same guy. He was a character. I mean, everybody, if you read any of the reports, you know, the obits, is always a character, and he was. He kept the dressing room loose. He was funny. You couldn't get mad at him. I mean, he could be aggravating as hell sometimes, but you never got mad at him, and he kept the dressing room loose. He was the kind of character that's not allowed in dressing rooms now because of corporate America.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not you can't pigeonhole him. He didn't come off the assembly line.
Right.
You know, taking the corporate stance. Good guy, I there's nothing that, I mean, I have no stories to tell or anything. Just a hell of a guy that worked with a lot of young. Well, I think it's somewhere Dory Funk, Dory Jr. was saying that Terry had his first match, I think, with Spuddy.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, he was big in that territory, in the Amarillo territory. I worked with him. He and Rocket Monroe, which was not his real brother, in the Tampa territory, when Roger Kirby was a former NWA Junior Heavyweight Champion, myself were tag team partners in '67. We worked with Rocket and Spuddy in the Tampa territory, but he was just a good guy, and I'm glad that I got to see him, you know, before he passed away, and he still had that same grating personality, you pukes, and, you know, just, hey kid, just a good guy,
right.
A good guy, and I, you know, certainly miss him, and it's you know, part of my history's gone too.
Yeah. Hurricane Ramirez also passed away last Wednesday at 80 years old. He was the man who invented the Hurricane Rana.
Okay. You know what? I'll buy that, except that I saw Don Curtis doing what we just called a front flying head scissor.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the 60s.
Yeah, there's been a lot of argument about it, exactly.
Which is I don't care what anybody says, is a version of the, you know, is basically a Hurricane Rana.
Mm-hmm.
To a certain degree.
Yeah, there's still a lot of discussion among wrestling classic boards and things like that about who actually created the Hurricane Rana.
Well, like you say, obviously we don't have any tapes or films of that, but and Curtis is a big guy. He was no little guy.
Mm-hmm.
He was a big guy and a hell of an athlete. Don's still around. Don is not in good health. He was a close personal friend. But, yeah, I saw him do, like I say, we just called it a front flying head scissor. It was like I'm jumping up on your shoulders in that respect and then just dropping, you know, my head back towards my rear end and bringing you over the front, you know.
Right.
Over the same, you know.
Pretty much the same thing.
Yeah.
In WWE news, Psychosis has been released. WWE made the official announcement on Wednesday, November 1st. But I think it was about a week before that. All the internet sites were reporting that he was released anyway. He was arrested in October for stealing his friend's car at gunpoint.
Okay. You know, well, you know, you got a lot of time on your hands. You got to have to do something to entertain yourself.
Right.
Yes. I don't know. Oh, no, I you know, I don't know. I mean, I've seen the guy work. I don't really know him. You know, it was a payday.
Right.
And why he would have done something like that is, I have no earthly idea. But, you know, It certainly cost him his job. It certainly cost. It's too bad it wasn't Big Dick Johnson.
Absolutely. But WWE made a lot of developmental deals this week. They're scooping up a lot of talent. They've signed Keith Walker, better known as Mike Venom, to WWE, and also Robert Ego Anthony, who
I met at your show,
who wrestled at the No Second Chances.
That must have been what did it. He worked
it
your
was.
Show, Doc, and that was it. Vince said, I've got to have him.
Think about it. Robert Ego Anthony shows up at No Second Chances, the Wrestling Weekly show last month. He gets signed to WWE. Josh Abercrombie shows up. He gets signed to Wrestling Society X. See? The show did it.
Okay. Yes. And Doc is sober. We give him a breathalyzer. Well, Anthony, I knew Anthony was going to
Deep South
for a evaluation. He had told me that when we introduced himself and we talked. And so, yeah. And he was, you know, I see potential in the guy. Natty Neidhart, who, you know what, I finally checked out her website. She is a good-looking young lady.
Yes.
You know, when you think of Jim Neidhart, you don't think of beauty.
Right.
You really don't. But, yeah, Natty is a good-looking young lady. And and then her cousin, T.J. Wilson,
yes,
supposedly has got a deal, too.
He's
and they looked at...
I believe he signed today.
Did he?
Yes.
Okay. And they looked at Claudia's... Pronounce his last name for me.
Claudio Castagnoli.
Castagnoli. Okay. I met Claudia at Ring of Honor show a couple shows back in Dayton. Nice kid. We talked even after his match. And
he is of Swiss descent.
He is of Swiss descent, okay.
Yes, he's from Switzerland.
Yeah, and I see he actually worked with Nigel McGuinness, I think it was Sunday night.
Oh, yeah.
Up in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
Cleveland All-Pro, or I believe that was the show. Anyway, I just saw that on the result.
We're going to have to get the skinny on this from our guests a little bit later on. Gabe Sapolsky's going to be on the program and find out just if Claudio has signed a deal or not yet. So that's one of the things we'll be talking to him about. In some other news, Jim Ross's webmaster had posted the following at jrsbarbecue.com. A lot of sites have been reporting, of course, that Jim Ross is working right now in WWE without a contract. According to this official website, it says many websites are reporting that JR is working without a contract with his present employer, which is not true. The reports came out, I believe, last Thursday from the Pro Wrestling Torch, and maybe we'll see if Ross will make a statement about his contract or if he'll just, you know, let it go under, sweep it under the rug, so to speak, and just not talk about it. But,
well, you know, Jim is a pretty straight shooter. Here's a guy, and I've said this on this show before. He's a class act. I enjoyed working with him. I enjoyed working for him when he was head of talent relations in WWE. I enjoyed working with him when we were co-hosts of Smoky Mountain. He's a class guy. And, you know, he speaks his mind. And on his website, the barbecue website, you will see or hear his mind. They killed... the JR from under the hat or whatever it was called on WWE for a while because he was actually speaking his mind.
Yes.
You know, this is not a communist state, but you wouldn't know that, actually.
Absolutely.
If you're in our business.
The people in the chat room are...
They are. There are people in the chat room. All right.
No,
very good.
The people in the chat room are correcting you. They said that T.J. Wilson is Natty's boyfriend.
No, I didn't say boyfriend.
You said cousin.
Is he her boyfriend?
They're saying that he is her boyfriend.
Oh, I was thinking he was related to the family some way or another.
No,
okay.
I guess not.
Okay, cool.
They would know.
I will stand corrected. and believe me, it's not the first time.
Right. Pro Wrestling Torch is reporting that Steve Austin's first movie with WWE Films, The Condemned, is now in post-production. They finished filming, and they're getting ready for an April. They're getting ready for an April 27th theatrical release.
All right.
They plan on pushing the release of the movie very heavily, of course, along with WrestleMania 23 next April. So there's going to be some sort of tie-in for that. Pretty much the same way they've done John Cena. You're going to see a lot of Steve Austin coming up in the few months before the movie comes out.
You sure will. Well, you know what? The show's become some more about product placement anymore than they actually are about wrestling.
Yes, but at least they're not... well, you know, of course, if somebody like John Cena makes a movie, they're going to be proud. And they're going to, yeah, this is John Cena, even though they're making a movie for him. This is John Cena, the wrestler, he's going to be in this action movie. That's fine. But when they're in the backstage and they're like, oh, I'm just using my new Nordic Flex, you know, that was pitiful when they were doing that. And I'm glad they stopped. So I can handle some of it.
Well, yeah, I mean, but let's face it, the movie things, both the you know, See No Evil and the Marine, I mean, and I Glenn Jacobs and John Cena are two people that I have no problems with whatsoever, but they've beat that into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they beat it with a stick. It's talking about overdone, yes. But I realize, again, they're working to, and you know, and that's something you got to understand, as widespread as popularity of professional wrestlers is currently today, nationally, or worldwide, or international, whatever you want to call it, still, it is a limited audience. You know, it's, you know, there's a niche audience that turns those shows on. So they've got to hit those people over the head with it, and they're obviously doing that. Johnson is not going to be doing any movies. And I guess him dancing last night was punishment for writing a bad show. Only sadly enough, I was being punished for him writing a bad show.
Yeah, he's like, every time the show sucks, you're coming out in that stupid thong.
I'm sorry. You know what? God love them. They take one step forward and two steps back. The first hour of SmackDown last Friday. Talking about Kane earlier, Glenn Jake, Kane and Undertaker were against MVP and Kennedy.
Yes.
And Brian Kendricks and Paul London against Casey James and who's his partner? I had it all written down somewhere and I've lost it. But anyway, those were good tag matches. And it goes to show that, I mean, now here, you wouldn't consider Undertaker and Kane technically strong workers,
right.
Wrestlers, but they were able to carry their opponents. And when I say carry, Kennedy is limited and the other guy even more so. But those were good tag matches. I thought the first hour was, you know, I thought was good. I thought, man, I'm enjoying SmackDown. And then The Miz and the girls and the Boogeyman came out, and I found something else to watch on television. And last night, the start of the whole thing wasn't bad. You know, I thought, you know, an Edge. And, you know, if you really look back over the past 6 months or so, Edge and Cena pretty much have carried Raw.
Yeah.
And, you know. That the show, the first hour of Raw wasn't all that bad. And then they sent Maria out to meet Umaga. And I started channel surfing. And I made a mistake of coming back at the end of the second hour. And Big Dick Johnson was And as old as I am, I am calling out Big Dick Johnson. I can kick his fat ass any day of the, and want to. And not because he's got heat as a wrestler, because I don't want to know. This is my business, Dick, and I don't want you in it. Thank you very much. You're garbage. And I don't care who says so.
Big Dick Johnson, the challenge has been set. Will you meet the Wrestling Weekly challenge? Answer us.
Yeah, right. No, I for anybody that's writing a review on this show, don't put that out there. I'm honestly not challenging the fat idiot, because it was, as old as I am, it wouldn't last very long. No, I find it disgusting, quite frankly.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not disgusted. Listen, man, I've lived in locker rooms. I know more four-letter words than you ever surmise, believe me.
Right.
And I can be more gross than anybody if it comes to that.
Except Johnny.
But I don't do those things publicly, and that sucked.
Right.
Plain and simple, that sucked. And sending Maria out against Umaga is a step backwards for him. I mean, the guy is undefeated. He's got a win streak going against strong guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so exactly where, so, and I read somebody had actually believed that, well, this will help make him get him over stronger. What? How would that get him over more? Hey, Umaga, 375-pound guy, beat the hell out of a 100-pound girl. Boy, he's pretty tough. You know, that's like saying, hey, Les Thatcher went down to the Milford grade school and beat up a bunch of sixth graders. Man, he's a pretty tough guy. He beat up a bunch of sixth, you know. It's to me, that's like hitting the announcer. You know, I don't care who the announcer was. Hey, they beat up the announcer. So what? The announcer's not a wrestler.
Right.
You know? So anyway, no, I just, you know, I can say it's one step forward and two steps back.
Mm-hmm.
And
they had a bad camera angle. So you actually missed the Umaga Maria match.
Thank God, yes. I got as far as him coming to the ring, and then I moved on. Yes.
He actually, well, you know, he just beat her up.
I think I watched CSI Miami.
But he put her in the corner, and he was going to do that. I don't know what you call it, where he runs and sticks his butt in your face and knocks you against there. The camera angle was so bad, you could tell he didn't even come close to her. Plus, she moved her head.
Well, of course she moved her head. What did you, Doc? What? Hey, Maria didn't stick her head up Umaga's butt. Oh, well.
No, I mean, you're supposed to let him get as close as he's going to get.
Oh, okay.
But she actually moved her head.
Well, here, this will surprise you probably, that Eric Bischoff's nose didn't go up Big Dick Johnson's rear end either.
It looked like it did to me.
Well, okay, whatever. You were only hoping, and I probably was too. No, it's like the Kevin Federline thing. It's like, come on, quit beating me over the head with this. You know, there's good talent in that company.
Yeah.
You know, I guess the tapings from TNA talking about crazy booking is that Styles won the right to face Sting,
mm-hmm.
and he also won the X Division title.
Mm-hmm.
So my question again is, what is the X Division? You're going to say there are no limits. And I'm going to say, oh, okay, that means I can bring a 50-millimeter howitzer. Or does it mean I bring a 50-millimeter howitzer and do a flip dive over the top rope?
Yeah.
And what's the difference between that and the NWA World Heavyweight title?
They're having trouble getting some of these guys over as it is. And to give a guy the X Division title and then to have him challenge for the world title
makes no sense.
It makes no sense at
all. Thank you, Doc. You are catching on. You actually, you're learning what this business is supposed to be about. It's a shame that the people writing it aren't learning what it's supposed to be about.
Well, we've been doing this show quite a while, my friend.
It's crazy. It goes back to my whole thing about, do I want to see Angle and Joe? I absolutely do.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, that comes in March or April. It doesn't come now.
Right.
Everybody wants to see it. Let's hurry. The internet's talking about it. Well, let's hurry up, rush, and get it out there then. So all 15 people on the internet can write and talk about it. Oh, okay. Cool. No, I'm not into that. It's just, I think it's crazy. I don't see the value. I don't see the value.
No, absolutely not. It's some other TNA news. Even though Jeff Jarrett's going to be off TV for a few months, he's going to continue his backstage duties, of course, at the TV tapings and the pay-per-view events, handling the management part of TNA stuff.
Yeah, well, sure. I mean, storyline-wise, he's going to be gone. He's not going to be gone business-wise.
Right.
Yeah.
Kurt Angle also was reported to be at the gorilla position backstage at the October 24th TNA tapings. According to reports, he was fully engaged in everything happening during the show. In contrast, it says newly crowned NWA World Champion Sting normally finds a TV and isolates himself backstage during events, and is only spotted walking out to a match or to socialize on occasion. So he kind of keeps to himself a little bit.
Well, you know what? You know, here's the deal. Let me say this. You know, you go in a football locker, an NFL locker room, or a Major League Baseball locker room, or an NBA locker room, and you'll find everybody preparing for what they do in different ways. And guess what? The same thing happens in our business. Everybody,
mm-hmm.
everybody is, you know, guys isolate themselves. Guys, you know, you do whatever it takes to get you ready to do your thing.
Right.
Some guys, you know, socialize with everybody. Some guys isolate themselves. You know, it's so. When people report those things, I'm not sure what you're supposed to read into those things. Does that mean that Sting is aloof? Does that mean that Sting is antisocial? No, it means that Sting is trying to get into the product, I guess.
Well said, and I'm usually the same way when I was DJing at radio stations, and a lot of people that I worked with, of course, they knew this, not to bother me a half an hour before I was going to go on the air. I would actually go in one of the production rooms in the dark and lay down on the floor under the table.
Okay.
That's what I did for half an hour. I didn't want to talk to anybody, and then I came out and I was ready. So that's
well,
how I
even never mind as a wrestler in the locker room when I was doing play by play and color and hosting shows and producing shows on show day on the day that we taped or whether we did it live or whatever the case may be, I had a ritual. I dressed. I did everything a certain way, and it's whether it's my wife or my daughter or whoever, please don't get in my way. Because I have something to do, and this is the way I do it.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a method, and I just followed that method. That was comfortable for me, and to get me to where I'm ready to go in and go to work.
Yeah, get you in the right state of mind.
Yeah, exactly. As far as Angle running the company, basically that's what you're saying. Is that he's been put in that position too? I'm not sure if that's good, bad, or indifferent, and I'm not sure if after 6 years or whatever in the business he's qualified for that. And I don't mean that in a disrespectful way either.
Mm-hmm.
I mean he's the biggest star they got, so and I'm not saying his input's not of value, but I'm not. Whether your name's Levesque or whether your name's Jared or whether your name's Angle, if you're being your push is a top dog, I don't want you writing the show.
Right.
It doesn't work well.
They're asking if you isolate yourself from everybody before Wrestling Weekly.
You know what? I do sometimes. I mean, I don't run my wife out of the house.
Right.
I do take some time on Tuesdays and make notes. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Depending on who the guest is and what we're doing and so forth and so on.
Well, I'm glad somebody's taking notes around here.
Yeah, me too.
Because it sure ain't me.
I heard that.
I'm serious. But anyway, there was a lot of people wondering about that headbutt that Kurt Angle gave to Samoa Joe during Angle's debut on TNA a few weeks back. According to some new reports, I guess Angle approached Joe backstage following the segment to make sure he was all right. Joe reportedly said something like, no worries, and that was all there was to it. And a lot of people said they overheard Joe telling people that he was just fine. And he likes that kind of intensity in his opponents.
Joe is, for a comparison of my generation, is Johnny Valentine. Valentine laid him in and expected you to lay him in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not an advocate of that, quite frankly. It's funny because when I'm in a training ring, I'll lock up with a young guy and you'll see this amazement on their face and they'll think, my God, I barely feel you. And I say, yeah, it's called a work for a reason.
Right.
And when I broke into business, we took pride. And the other thing is, I think a lot of the guys in this generation are self-taught. So you can't feel how we do things. And a lot of the younger, I've locked up with young guys that are as stiff as a friggin' board. There's an old saying in the business, God, I worked with so-and-so the other night, and I've been in street fights that were easier. And I'm thinking, man, I can sell your stuff if you work with me. If you're stiff with me, then it depends. But I know Joe and I have had that conversation. And, he mentioned on our show that he liked to be snug. The Japanese work a little snugger, and he spent a lot of time over there. So,
right.
And
Joe always says no worries. So,
yeah. Well, and it's just again, it comes down to the people. I know there have been guys that were so stiff. I'd say, listen, if you're interested in improving your masculinity, go home, beat your wife. Okay. I'm here to work with you. Let's make some money and move on with our lives.
Right.
Right. So.
Kurt Angle, of course, TNA is really pushing this. He's going to make his in-ring debut on the November 16th episode of TNA Impact, which is going to be a two-hour primetime special, just in case you guys forgot. don't know who he's going to be taking on, but he is going to be fighting his...
Abyss.
Abyss.
Yes.
He won the Fight for the Right tournament.
It's all right. No. Abyss won the right Fight for the Right, or the stupid jump in the ring battle royal to get thrown out of the ring battle.
Okay.
Or whatever you want. I don't know what
that's
that
going
is.
To be a good one.
Okay.
I like
if
Abyss.
You,
I like
say,
Abyss.
Yeah, well, I have no problem with Abyss. But you know what? Now, see, to me, I'd just saved Angle's first TV appearance, period.
Right.
To the 9 o'clock show on the 16th.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, it's like your first, for young guys, the guys in the chat room may understand, it's like your first, why are you rushing to grab that first woman and, you know, fondle her and rush and get it done, all done in 30 seconds? Why not take your time,
mm-hmm.
enjoy it, and milk it for what it's worth? And that's part of this business that's missing. It's part of the flip-flop and fly guys don't understand psychology. It's easier to get a cheap pop by throwing your body 16 feet in the air and doing quadruple somersault into a handstand on top of a Coke bottle or something, than it is to actually work psychology. It's harder work to understand the psychology of this business. It's a tougher grind to get the people, but you know what? Once you get them, you got them.
Right.
One of the things that I tell trainees, you want a cheap pop? Go out and walk. You don't need me. Go out and walk in the middle of the ring, drop your pants. Somebody will either laugh at you or say, whoa. But anyway, you'll get a response. But there's nothing sustaining to that response.
Yeah.
You know? And that's my biggest problem with just hurry up and rush this match in there. Why? Because, listen, I don't care. You know, if we're talking about Rick Steamboat and Ric Flair at the height of their careers, which was one of the biggest feuds, in my lifetime in this business, they were only good for X number of matches in every market. And then they had to be separated and move on to work with somebody else. So by rushing Angle and Joe together, that means you're going to also rush them apart at some point in time.
Mm-hmm.
They can't. I mean, well, you could beat it over the head until it dies if you want. But at some point, you've only got so much mileage out of that those particular two guys, and then you've got to move on.
And where's he going to go from there? You know?
Well, that's it. They've got to work with other people. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I mean, that's the other thing too. There's not you've only got so many top guys, and again, this blurring the lines of X Division and then so forth. So how many people have had that belt in the last week? Seems like it's like passing the baton on a relay race.
Right.
From Sensei to Kazarian, I mean, from Sensei to Saban to Styles,
mm-hmm.
and on. Yeah.
They're yelling at you in the chat room about spoilers.
Huh?
They're yelling about spoilers in the chat room. They said, well, no spoilers.
You know what? Then I'll just, listen, I'd rather watch Emmett Smith on Dancing with the Stars anyway, so I'll get off the air. And you guys talk about anything you want. How's that? I mean, you know what? I'm going to my 47th year in the business, and this whole business has been spoilers for me for that many years, right?
True.
I've always known what was going to happen before.
Absolutely.
So
it's hard to get out of that mindset.
Well,
too.
You know what? You guys that are in the chat room and this. Hey, I didn't invent the computer. Don't blame this on me.
Absolutely,
you know, and you know what? I was a big fan when I was a kid. And didn't know all the results before they, you know, and didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but then there weren't shows like this either.
Right. One more note, the Sci-Fi Channel is going to be having a one-hour special called The Best of ECW the day after Christmas.
Wow.
December 26th.
Already, huh?
Already.
ECW's been on the air 15 minutes, and we're running a best of.
And they're having a best of. That's why I think that you and I, Les, should have a best of Wrestling Weekly indie shows.
Sure, and then I can watch TV.
Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about indie show. Okay.
Yes.
I thought you meant like a radio. We always put, when I produced TV shows, we always put a best of in the can. That way, if you couldn't get to the station, if you were doing a live show.
Yes.
You know, when we first started in Knoxville years ago, the station we were on was up on a high, I mean, legitimately up on a mountain. And if it was a bad snow, you weren't going to get up there. So we always had a show in the can. That was our standby show.
Mm-hmm.
That if we couldn't get up on the mountain on Saturday morning for some reason, then we had a show.
That's covering yourself.
Yes.
That's how you do it.
So, but then, like at Christmas time, when you know, you got to realize that in the territory days, everybody didn't live at home, right? You lived in the territory, and so especially like the Crocketts, Jim Crockett Sr. was a big advocate of families, and it was always, you know, he always closed down Charlotte a week or 2 weeks, depending on what days Christmas fell on, it would tell you go home, visit your family, you know.
Right.
And which we did, and so you know, it was there was always shows in the can to run best of, you know, best of the year and so forth. So that's, you know, it's not a novel concept. It's novel to think that ECW has only been on for so long, and they're going to try and milk it for extra ratings.
That is pretty fun. When did they start? I'm thinking
it hadn't been that long ago. What, 3 months ago? Maybe. I don't know.
I think maybe in July they started.
Okay.
I can't remember. But, yeah, best of coming up.
Time flies when you're having fun. I don't.
Hopefully, you know, they'll add some old ECW footage. You know what I mean? Maybe
yeah.
It's the best of complete ECW.
Well, you know what? That would make sense, so they probably won't.
That would be a good show.
They may. Oh, listen, while we're talking about this, Cyber, what was the deal on Cyber? Did we pick for Cyber Sunday?
Cyber Sunday. Do you want to take a break before we get to that? Or?
Okay, we can, yeah.
Yeah, let's take a break before we get to that, and we will get to the Cyber Sunday results, opinions, and find out who won the pay-per-view prediction game between myself and Les for Cyber Sunday. Also coming up in the show, guys, Gabe Sapolsky from Ring
of Honor. Well, now, it's a double-edged sword on Cyber Sunday because we not only had to pick the winners, we had to pick the opponents, right?
We had to pick, you know.
So you could either lose twice or win twice or break even, right?
Yeah, so there's going to be a lot of points given away this week.
Cool.
So it's going to be a special edition of pay-per-view prediction game. And Gabe Sapolsky's coming up, guys, from Ring of Honor. He's going to be here live in just a little bit. Stick around. You're listening to Doc Young and Les Thatcher. It's Wrestling Weekly.
We know, you hate this part, but Wrestling Weekly will return after this short break.
Why are you doing this to me?
Hey, do you find that wrestling is more to you than just a passing fancy? Do you need to know more about your favorite wrestler? Do you absolutely have to know all about their history? You, my friend, aren't just passionate. You're obsessed.
Geez, you know, that information might have been a little more useful to me yesterday.
We have a fix for that.
Throw me a frickin' bone here. Need the info.
Check out obsessedwithwrestling.com. All the info you need to know about everyone. Located at www.obsessedwithwrestling.com. Histories, title info, bios, aliases, real names.
Once again, things that could have been brought to my attention yesterday!
If wrestling isn't just a passion, but an obsession, check out www.obsessedwithwrestling.com today.
Hi, my name is Adam Nedelman, but I play the Phantom on the radio. I'm here to remind you that, oh, screw that, my book, Mysteries of Wrestling South, is available at finer bookstores everywhere. That's stupid fake voice, I hate it. I wrote a book along with Sir Adam Kleinberg called Mysteries of Wrestling. It has the questions that you wanted answered. Why does Steve Austin hate Jeff Jarrett? Are referees really blind and stupid and dumb? Who is actually the toughest wrestler in the business outside of the ring? Hulk Hogan, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kamala. We get down and dirty with insider facts you've never read about anywhere else. So what are you waiting for? It makes a great stocking stuffer. You're too short, you buy three of them, you get tall, you just stand on them. Mysteries of Wrestling Solved by ECW Press, written by Sir Adam Kleinberg and Adam the Phantom Nedelman. Available everywhere. It's done. The plug is done. I'm done. I didn't sell it well enough. There's naked pictures of China in there. Okay? Thank you.
Here's the latest news and information on total nonstop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and Get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip is just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, the best of Raven, Enigma, the best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, the best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
It's like a pulse that refuses to die. After 4 years, the chants are as loud as ever. These three letters changed history.
This ain't WCW!
Revolutionized sports entertainment.
This ain't Monday Night Raw!
And brought the wrestling world to its knees.
Oh my God!
Tonight, the revolution is reborn. Welcome to the underground. Welcome to the cutting edge. Welcome to the extreme.
This, my friend, is ECW!
He considers himself God's gift to wrestling, and millions of his faithful agree. With nearly 4 hours of footage and exclusive commentary and matches, this DVD chronicles Daniel's rise from Chicago's Windy City Wrestling to the Asylum in Nashville, and finally to the top of TNA. TNA Home Video presents Heaven Sent, Hell Bound, The Best of Christopher Daniels. Available at most retailers and TNAWrestling.com.
Hey, do you find that wrestling is more to you than just a passing fancy? Do you need to know more about your favorite wrestler? Do you absolutely have to know all about their history? You, my friend, aren't just passionate. You're obsessed.
Geez, you know, that information might have been a little more useful to me yesterday.
We have a fix for that.
Throw me a frickin' bone here. Need the info.
Check out obsessedwithwrestling.com. All the info you need to know about everyone. Located at www.obsessedwithwrestling.com. Histories, title info, bios, aliases, real names.
Once again, things that could have been brought to my attention yesterday!
If wrestling isn't just a passion, but an obsession, check out www.obsessedwithwrestling.com today.
Hi, my name's Adam Nudelman, but I play the Phantom on the radio. I'm here to remind you that, oh, screw that, my book, Mysteries of Wrestling South, is available at finer bookstores everywhere. That stupid fake voice, I hate it. I wrote a book along with Sir Adam Kleinberg called Mysteries of Wrestling. It has the questions that you wanted answered. Why does Steve Austin hate Jeff Jarrett? Are referees really blind and stupid and dumb? Who is actually the toughest wrestler in the business outside of the ring? Hulk Hogan, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kamala. We get down and dirty with insider facts you've never read about anywhere else. So what are you waiting for? It makes a great stocking stuffer. You're too short, you buy three of them, you get tall, you just stand on them. Mysteries of Wrestling Solved by ECW Press, written by Sir Adam Kleinberg and Adam the Phantom Nudelman. Available everywhere. It's done. The plug is done. I'm done. I didn't sell it well enough. There's naked pictures of China in there. Okay? Thank you.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back with you at Wrestling Weekly. Welcome back, guys. We are going to cover, of course, Cyber Sunday and find out who won the pay-per-view prediction game. Also coming up is Ring of Honor's Gabe Sapolsky. He's going to be joining us live. Les,
what?
I was going to say to go ahead and talk about, like, generally how you thought the pay-per-view went.
Well, I didn't see it, so I couldn't tell you generally.
What's the word on it? As far as
it's come see, come saw.
Mm-hmm.
From what I've heard, it was there. It wasn't great. It wasn't bad. You know, but see, that's the other thing too. It's so. I don't know what example to use, honestly. I was talking about Mid-Atlantic territory, the Crockett territory of years ago. Like, for example, Charlotte. We ran Charlotte every Monday night at Park Center, which was a smaller venue.
Mm-hmm.
And we built to a the Coliseum, well, which is the Independence Arena now on Independence Boulevard. It's the old Coliseum. But we ran there a big 4th of July show, a Christmas show, gosh, I don't know, maybe four times a year. So that, you know, would similar to like what you might consider a pay-per-view. You built to those shows, right? And they became something special.
Right.
And to me, to get $40 of my money every month, you've got to give me something special. Because, and see, and there's part of the psychology I don't, or lack of psychology that I don't quite understand about our business today is giving away weapons matches and fence matches and cage matches and all this on free TV.
Mm-hmm.
To build to what? Where do we go from there?
Right.
Why am I paying you to see something I'm already getting all this for free?
Do you think it's special anyway? Because, I mean, it's every month.
Well, I don't. You know, and I think, to, but see, to me, to make it special, I think you've got to build. That's up to you as the people promoting it, writing it, booking it, call it, you know,
mm-hmm.
call it whatever you like.
I think you mentioned this last week that the house shows and the TV were supposed to be building up to the pay-per-views. But everything now seems to be building to TV.
Yeah.
And the pay-per-views are just an extra way to make money every month now.
Well, but see, I mean, that's, yeah, it is a way to make money. But if domestically, those numbers are down, am I right?
Yes.
With the exception, I'm guessing that this last TNA pay-per-view probably was their biggest one. But still, that's not a lot. Somebody was saying like 40,000 buys or something. But that's not... It's not huge,
mm-mm.
right?
Right.
I mean, that when it gets right down the scheme of things. And again, I just don't, you know, to me it's your regular TV, whether it's Raw, SmackDown, Impact, or whatever you want to call it, your weekly TVs, I'm not saying you don't give them anything or can't give them anything. You just don't give them the store.
Right.
Because, you know, then there's nothing left for me to buy.
Right.
You know, I was, well, like TNA did this Four Corners of Weapons, which I still am scratching my head and wondering what that was, trying to figure that one out with Rhino and Christian. It was on last week's TV. And then they're going to give you the Six Sides of Steel with the barbed wire at the top. Okay. And, you know, and so there's nothing, these guys, but now I also hear that that's the end. They finish it up at that point.
Good.
I mean, with those two guys,
yes.
You know, I mean, that's the end of the run.
Mm-hmm.
But my question is, why are you giving, well, it's because we're going to prime time, 2-hour special, yada, 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 yada. But, I mean, still, you know, back in the day, our 1-hour weekly TV was to build to get you to buy a ticket. Today, it's not so much to get you to buy a ticket to the house show, but it is to get you to come, you know, and buy a pay-per-view, right?
Right.
But it's, you know, it's, well, it's like, how many times do you give me Angle, I mean, excuse me, Edge and Cena for free, and they expect me to buy it?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Do you think, well, they're asking in the chat room, besides that, and besides, you know, not giving away, you know, good stuff and special matches on free TV. What kind of things do you think WWE should do to make their pay-per-view special?
Well, I think just, you know, the storyline should lead you to that, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, well, I don't know. I'm just grabbing out of thin air here, but let's say that Benoit and Umaga, again, are they bump heads on weekly TV, right? But
mm-hmm.
they never actually wrestle one another.
Right.
And they have an issue, but they never actually get to one another. And then it comes down to, well, I'll meet you, you know, at the pay-per-view.
Right.
So now this is something I can't see on Monday night or Friday night, okay? So now guess what? I have to buy it.
Yeah.
Okay? That was always the case, too. It was, well, They still do squash matches to a certain degree, what everybody calls squash matches.
Mm-hmm.
But that was, for example, if you're the heel and I'm the babyface, you're the bad guy, I'm the good guy, we may, have little confrontations or stare downs or whatever on free TV, but it's going to be at the building. If you want to see us wrestle one another, you've got to buy a ticket.
Right.
You know? So, and when I say this, the business, the industry itself has painted itself into this corner in many ways.
Yeah.
The fans won't, they'll probably in mass leave the chat room when I say this, but they're allowing the fans to run the business, and I think that sucks. You know what? If you start chanting something to me, I don't care. I'm running the match.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the conductor of the orchestra. If I hear boring, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take a headlock and sit down. Because I'm paid to be here. How long can you? And when you get tired of chanting, I'll get up and go back to work. And in the old days, that's what the masters did. We had what we call babyface matches or good guy against good guy. They don't do that a lot anymore. Technician against technician. But there were times that you'd hear somebody say, "When are you going to wrestle? You know, I want to see some wrestling." Well, the idiot, that's what you are seeing.
Right.
What they wanted to see was punches and kicks, right?
Uh-huh.
And today's idiot fans, and I say that with some affection, not a lot, but some.
Except for our listeners, the nice, the good fans.
Now, you know what? I don't go to the doctor and tell him how to operate on me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't expect anybody that buys a ticket to see me wrestle tell me how to wrestle.
Right.
Can they have an opinion? Yeah, keep it to yourself. Thank you very much. That's the way I look at it.
Absolutely, yeah.
I mean, seriously, that's exactly the way I look at it. And, today today it's so different. I mean, because I don't think I had this conversation with somebody in the industry just the other night. I don't think the reactions are honest reactions. You know, people know the chant this or that if so-and-so's in the ring. It's more about them being a part of the show than it is actually a reaction to something.
Yes.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's just like everybody chants ECW if they go to ABC Wrestling.
Yeah.
Right? If you put me through a table at ABC Wrestling, everybody starts chanting ECW or HWA or AB, you know, whatever.
Right.
It's just, and then some young wrestler will say, "Gosh, we're getting a reaction." No, you're not. It just gives them a reason to be a part of the show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you want people to react? Absolutely. But I want them to react to what I'm doing, not just to be reacting for the sake of reacting.
Yeah, or
you
because
know?
It's the chant or...
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Robotic reacting.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's just, to me, it's not an audience participation show and like a game show. I don't care if you bring a sign. I don't, you know, if I'm the babyface and I'm selling and you're getting into that and I'm building to my comeback, that's what I'm hearing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if the heel leading me knows his stuff and he's a master at the business, then he knows it's time. We're at the point we've milked these people for what we can get out of them. It's time for you to fire up less and come back.
Right.
And you do, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the other thing. I don't teach laying matches out in the dressing room. I don't paint by numbers. I think that is totally away from the art. I understand if you have a 4-minute match and you've got 12,000 cameras and you have to know where everybody needs to be and this and that and the other thing, okay, I can buy into that. But if you and I are going out there and going 20 minutes, please give me here's the finish. Goodbye, Doc. I don't even have to talk to you again.
Right.
Till we get in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to talk to you again. And I'm going in a direction. I'm going to take the fans with me. They're not going to take me with them. How many times at a baseball game in a tight situation, if the fans all in mass them starts chanting bunt, 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 do you think the manager is going to say, "Hey, we need to bunt. The fans want us to bunt." He's going to say, "Kiss my bunt."
That's a good analogy.
He's going to say, "Kiss my bunt," right?
Absolutely.
And I am too. Because you don't know my business. I mean, you're a fan of my business, and when I say you don't know it, I mean exactly that. You don't know it.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't been there, haven't done that. And so there's nothing you can tell me that you know that I don't know more.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say me, I'm just using me as an example.
Right.
And if you but see, that's the whole problem too. There are people in this industry today that don't know this industry and don't want to. They're They're playing at wrestling. They are not wrestlers. They're playing at it. That's the problem with the independents today. That's my rant for tonight. Thank you very much.
Now let's get to the points.
What's the point?
And the pay-per-view prediction game. The points.
Okay, that point. Okay.
That point.
Let's get to that point.
First off, we had Viscera and Charlie Haas taking on Crime Time, Caden Murdoch, and the Highlanders in a Texas Tornado match.
Okay. Yeah.
And you had went with Caden Murdoch on that one. I went with Crime Time.
And you won.
And I got the points for that.
Well, see, we take the least workers and turn them put them over, okay?
Right.
I know that makes sense to somebody. It doesn't to me, but go on.
Here's another one that surprised me was Mickey versus Lita. Lita ended up taking the
I don't understand because I'm under the impression that Lita's not going to stay with the company.
Right. So if she's not going to stay with the company, and I believe they said December she's leaving.
Well, maybe they're smart enough to actually take you in a misdirection for a change, which is part of the business, the art of the business too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, take you one direction and turn around and go the other.
The whole leak could be a work.
Yeah.
You never know.
I don't know. I can't say for sure.
But we both went with Mickey on that one.
Lita was looking a little rough last night too.
She was.
Old, and she's not.
I know. She looked like she aged a few years. And
that,
a week.
That outfit was not, I mean, I'm sorry, that just didn't do anything for her at all.
Not. Well, it's supposed to be her character, I assume.
Okay.
That dress is like that.
Those goofy boots with socks over the top. It's just, if there's something sexy about that, you can tell me what it is. I'm sorry. I don't know what that would be. But anyway, moving on.
The next match was sort of a surprise and sort of not a surprise. Umaga did end up beating Kane.
Yeah.
In that match, we had both went with Umaga to be the winner, but you had went with Benoit to win the pole. And I had won with Sandman to win the poll. Neither one of us thought.
My question is, did Kane really win the poll? Or did that match, is that the match they decided on? I don't know.
Whether that's, you know.
Well, see, that's the other thing, too. They had done that match how many times?
Yes, exactly.
Which was one of the reasons that I went in another direction. But anyway.
Myself, too, because, I mean, we've done there.
Yeah.
Been there and seen it. So we each got a point for that one. No points on the on the pole part. Then we had the Spirit Squad versus Ric Flair and Roddy Piper, which was surprising because we got no points for the match because Flair and Piper are the new.
We're selling DVDs, I think.
Yeah.
Sadly, and I watched that part of that last night, and that was sad to watch. I'm sorry.
I actually thought they were going to be transitional, and as soon as
that was sad to watch. I don't want to see that.
As soon as they said on Raw last night, it was going to be Orton and Edge versus Flair and Piper. I said transitional champions. I could have sworn that they were going to lose those titles last night. They ended
well,
up,
it's like when they put the belts on Animal and Heidenreich.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought, well, they'll do that and just yank, you know, and it's just like almost suffer, you people, by God. Okay.
True. But
Roddy's. I mean. When I say it with all due respect for the money he's drawn, for God's sakes, it's over.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, it's over. Well, when he went out of the ring last night, you see how he had to go out of the ring.
Yeah,
there was no bump out. It was like, you know, and it makes sense too. He's not going to tear that hip up,
mm-mm.
Or at least he shouldn't if he's you know. But yeah, okay.
A lot of people are speculating that he needs to work right now. He needs the money.
Well, you know what? I won't just. I don't know. He may, but it shouldn't. He's been doing movies. He's done a lot of straight to video movies and stuff too. I mean, he's got some background in that.
Yeah, I figured.
I mean, stuff that I mean, I couldn't name what those things are for you, but I know he has.
I could figure they could find something else for him to do. Maybe put him in as an announcer. He's still got character.
Okay.
I don't know how good his announcing skills are. I don't think I've ever heard him announce, but, I mean, he's still
Ronnie,
a character.
Ronnie goes off on, well, I'll tell you one thing. He won't have a director, producer in his ear. I mean, he may have one in his ear, but he's not going to listen to him.
Probably not.
So that's probably why that job won't be his anytime soon.
Right. We had both went with Piper to win the poll, so that's a point for each of us. No points on the match, though.
I heard that they were hoping that Dusty won the poll, which would have been even scarier than Piper, but go ahead.
I would have liked to have seen that. But
why? My question is why?
Are you into
train wrecks and stuff?
Yeah, a little bit. It's kind of like watching Springer a little bit, you know. That would have just been a mess.
But I can understand your whole family gets together and watch Springer every day. Hey, that could be us. Let's do something insane and you know.
Let
me pimp my sister out so I can get on Jerry Springer's show.
We don't do the insane things. We just make up the stories.
Okay, whatever.
And then go on. Next match was the Intercontinental Championship between Jeff Hardy and the poll winner of Carlito.
Yeah.
We had both went with Carlito to win the poll.
And now I heard that match was really bad.
We had went with both. With Carlito, both of us had went with him to win the poll.
I don't have a lot. I mean, and when I say this, I know Jeff, and I get along with Jeff. Gosh, you think he's ever going to stop at that drug dance he does up on the stage?
No, he's been doing that since day one.
I know, but he's, you know, it's at some point you think he'll outgrow that. Maybe by the time he's a father or grandfather or will he be doing that gimmick when he's 50?
I don't know. What is he, 31?
I have no idea, but he's a little old for that, I think. But anyway, to me, that's like Kevin Nash at 45 wearing a FUBU. You know, I think some of that FUBU stuff is cool, but it's not cool for us old guys. It's cool for young guys. I see some of the, you know, but I mean, that's the same thing to me. It's just at some point a lot of people are saying the DX thing is...
they're too old for that.
Yeah, exactly. And they're trying to, and God love Vince Russo on TNA. He's trying to do the same goofy thing with the Jameses.
Right.
Is resurrect that. And I'm thinking, well, hell, they're not much younger than the two guys, the other two guys.
Uh-uh.
By a year maybe or something. I don't know. You know, whatever. But
who knows?
Hardy, and Hardy's not a strong worker. Mechanically, nor as far as I'm concerned, is Carlito. I have yet to see any reason that I don't even know Carlito, but I'm not a strong supporter of his in-ring work. And so it was, from what I heard, was a conflict. Was not a strong show at all. I mean, a strong match, which doesn't surprise me either. And then they took the belt off of him last night.
Yes, which I thought was odd. But you had went with Jeff Hardy to win that one. I went with Carlito to win that one. So you got the point on that one.
I ended up with a point. All right.
All right. You got. So that brings us even, and brings us to DX versus Edge and Orton, which Edge and Orton took that one. And we talked about this last week. Of course, you know, it makes total sense. DX finally needs to lose. They need to have some sort of challenge. Instead of beating seven, eight guys at once, and every show for the last 2 months has just been DX raising their hands at the end, you know?
Yeah.
And it's getting old. But I really didn't think WWE was going to finally see that. So I went with DX on this one. But you had went with Edge and Orton. So you got the point for that one.
So some sanity is maintained in that company.
Absolutely,
that's amazing.
As far as the poll goes, though, you had went with Vince McMahon to win.
Yeah.
The poll, and I had went with Eric Bischoff, and Eric Bischoff did end up winning. That brings us even again, and to the final match, which was Cena versus Booker T versus Big Show. Three champions, and the audience got to pick, of course, which championship would be up for grabs in this match.
And it was Booker's.
And it was Booker's, and Booker did end up winning. You and I had picked Cena to win, and we had picked Cena's title to be on the line.
Yeah.
That leaves us tied.
Which, you know, for him to go over, it had to be, because I didn't see any one of the three of them winning all three, you know, or being a multiple champion, I should say, all three.
I still think those polls are rigged, though.
That wouldn't surprise me. Not at all. But, you know, the thing with...
Booker not only won, he won by a wide margin.
Yeah. But the whole thing with the Federline thing is like, okay, it's over.
That's absolutely ridiculous. I can't... You know what? And it is... And I heard some other people, and they were talking about, you know, in defense of this angle, because everybody hates Kevin Federline, so they want to see him get his butt kicked and all this stuff.
You know what? See, but here we go again with the celebrity getting involved thing, mm-hmm. right? Which is demeaning to a certain degree to our business. That's the other problem too. I think with this generation of wrestling fans, whatever. Oh, anybody can be a wrestler. No, they can't.
Right.
You know, take my word for it. No, they can't. And if you want to come to Cincinnati and jump in the ring for 5 minutes, I can prove my point every day of the week.
Mm-hmm.
I am very proud of what I did for 20 years and that I was able to do it, and damn few of us are. And there's a lot of pretenders to the throne today, brother. And this is the reason, you know. Some kid sitting out there, well, if Kevin Federline can do it, I can do it too. You know, mm-hmm. No, you can't. Take my word for it, no, you can't. I just think I'm just not into all that whole thing. You know, put him in somebody's corner. But him saying, you know, John Cena, you think whip my... Yeah, I think Cena could probably whip your butt, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's hope, anyway. You know, or is some writer stupid enough to want to put Federline over? Is that insane? I mean, let's don't get to the David Arquette thing again, please.
Oh, God, no.
Please.
But the whole thing is, in my opinion, Federline is not the kind of guy that you hate and you want to see him get his butt kicked. That was Andy Kaufman. Andy Kaufman was one of those guys where you just...
Yeah, well,
really,
Federline, I just want to see him go away.
Yes. That's the difference.
I could care less if he gets his butt kicked.
That's the point I was getting at. Now, everybody wanted to see Andy Kaufman get his butt kicked.
Yeah. If I were a young guy, I'd be hot because Federline had Brittany and I didn't.
Right.
You know, at my age, I realized why he had her and I didn't. But
yeah, that's the difference.
Know,
people do not hate Federline and want to see him get his butt kicked. They just don't want to see him.
Yeah.
They don't like him at all.
It's like somebody, I forget who it is,
they
somebody calls it the go-away heat. Not,
yes.
It's not the heat, I can't wait to see the next match heat. Yeah.
Right. It's a joke. He's
yeah.
a joke.
Yeah, I think so, too. Well, you know, our business is slowly turning into that, and when I say that, I can't. You know, I have a sarcastic sense of humor, as those of you who are here weekly must know by now. I can't be serious about all these things I say. But in that, I am deadly serious. Our business is being turned into a joke, and it saddens me terribly, you know, in a lot of ways. You know, what I'm hearing, too, is a chance that Show won't be renewing his contract. He's hurting. And if you watch him, you can see that. I mean, he's being very methodical, you know, in a lot of the things that he does. But
you know, he's a guy I would like to see go on and do some movies. Or
I like Paul. I mean, you got to know Paul to know Paul, and, mm-hmm. and I do, and I like Paul. One of the other things, we have street rods, muscle cars in common, too. So he and Brock Lesnar and I used to talk about that. We all three had that in common. But
Paul can fit into a muscle car?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we sit down at OVW and talk about that. But anyway, I'm hearing this, that there's a chance that he, you know, depending on, he's at least going to take some time off to heal. Well, if you realize he was going to do that way back when.
Right.
You know, and never did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he stepped up. Paul has stepped up. I mean, he really has in ECW, stepped up and rose to the occasion. But you know, that's the other thing, and I'm cool with that. If guys can get out at a young age without ending up in wheelchairs and killing themselves,
mm-hmm.
You know, without the hip replacements and the knee and all, I say go, man. That's cool. I'm for that.
I'd be sad to see him go because I really don't think, except for WCW, when he didn't deserve it yet, I don't think that he's been used to his full potential.
Well, you know, that's, you know, yeah, that's either here or there. But, I mean, the point is that the toll is taken on his body.
Right.
You know, and that's more important is, you know, it's until you get here, when I say here, meaning where I'm at as a grandfather, I always drew the line. And I never crossed my mind whether that was macho or wasn't macho or whether... You know, but at some point that testosterone, macho stuff is nonsense. Mm-hmm. I mean, for a young guy, you know, hey, let me see how I can tear my body up, and the boys in the back will be impressed. The hell with the boys in the back. You know, I'm enjoying my grandchildren. If I were in a wheelchair, that wouldn't be possible.
Right.
And, you know, or if I can't get down on my knees or do a somersault for one of my youngest granddaughter who just turned five by last summer, she was wanting grandma to do a somersault, and Papa did one, and she just looked at him like, my God, my. But you know, if I were in a wheelchair, I couldn't do that. You know, but yeah. I mean, that's the thing too. No, if Paul says it's enough, it's enough. He's paid. You know, he's paid the price.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm up with that. I think that's something I don't get into. That you sold out, you walked away. You know, the hell with all that craziness. It's
right.
If you think it's time, it's time. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like with Jericho. If he never comes back. I love Chris to death. He's a good kid. I've known him since he first came to the States in Smoky, and I'm all for him, man. You know, if he's made it and got it and doing what he's happy with without tearing his body up any further, I say go for it.
Yeah.
You know?
We'll miss him, though.
Yeah, well, yeah. If you're looking for an argument, I won't give you one.
We'll
you
miss
know?
Old Jericho.
Yeah. Speaking of Jericho, that video they ran, just glimpses of him on TNA. That's an old video. That's been around a while.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that?
No.
Yeah. I'm not sure how long, but yeah, that was from one of the earlier music videos that group did.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Huh. I don't know what the whole situation's going on with that, but
you know that Bob Sapp is talking to WWE?
About what?
About what? About buying a ticket for a pay-per-view, Doc. What the hell do you think he's talking to him about?
No, I didn't know that.
About wrestling, yes. Well, actually, from what I'm hearing, that they had wanted to sign him a while back, that they had some storyline that there was time related, and they wanted to fit him into. And he's, you know, he walked away. Was it Pride, K1, whoever he fights for in Amsterdam earlier this year because of money. But I hear it's, you know, there's a chance that they still might sign him. I don't know.
That would be cool.
Well, yeah, you know, I don't see there again. I don't know. I've seen him in MMA, you know. So I don't know. It's a whole different ball game, man.
Right. There's a transition you have to make there.
Well, you know what? Here's a transition. The Ken Shamrock I see in UFC, I like, and he does great interviews. The Ken Shamrock I saw in WWE, I didn't like, and he didn't do great interviews.
Right.
In fact, I thought his hulking up was silly. Not that I don't think Ken Shamrock's tougher than I am or ever was. I would be the first to say he probably is and was and always will be.
Right.
But when he did that, whatever, you know, is like going nuts in WWE, I laughed at it. I thought, oh, man, this is silly. You know, it was more cartoonish than it was tough.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but the point there is, you know, actually being himself in the UFC comes across much stronger than trying to be some artificial guy that some idiot writer wanted him to be.
Right.
You know, so it's not, you know, can Sapp, well, Sapp's done movies too, I guess. So, I guess, you know, can he make the transition? We, you know, possibly we'll see.
Yeah, we'll have to see. We're going to take a break, guys. When we come back, our featured guest is going to be here. Ring of Honor's Gabe Sapolsky is going to be giving us the lowdown on what's going on right now in Ring of Honor, plans for the future, and he's going to be answering your questions live. You're listening to Wrestling Weekly with Doc Young and Les Thatcher. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Wrestling Weekly will return to all the fun right after this.
What are you doing? You having fun?
I'm having a blast.
Here's the latest news and information on Total Nonstop Action Wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip is just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, the best of Raven, Enigma, the best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, the best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total nonstop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
It's like a pulse that refuses to die. After 4 years, the chants are as loud as ever. These three letters changed history.
This ain't WCW!
Revolutionized sports entertainment.
This ain't Monday Night Raw!
And brought the wrestling world to its knees.
Oh my God!
Tonight, the revolution is reborn. Welcome to the underground. Welcome to the cutting edge. Welcome to the extreme.
This, my friend, is ECW!
Hey, do you find that wrestling is more to you than just a passing fancy? Do you need to know more about your favorite wrestler? Do you absolutely have to know all about their history? You, my friend, aren't just passionate. You're obsessed.
Geez, you know, that information might have been a little more useful to me yesterday.
We have a fix for that.
Throw me a frickin' bone here. Need the info.
Check out obsessedwithwrestling.com. All the info you need to know about everyone. Located at www.obsessedwithwrestling.com. Histories, title info, bios, aliases, real names.
Once again, things that could have been brought to my attention yesterday!
If wrestling isn't just a passion, but an obsession, check out www.obsessedwithwrestling.com today.
He considers himself God's gift to wrestling, and millions of his faithful agree. With nearly 4 hours of footage and exclusive commentary and matches, this DVD chronicles Daniel's rise from Chicago's Windy City Wrestling to the Asylum in Nashville, and finally to the top of TNA. TNA Home Video presents Heaven Sent, Hell Bound, the best of Christopher Daniels. Available at most retailers and TNAWrestling.com.
Hi, my name is Adam Nadelman, but I play the Phantom on the radio. I'm here to remind you that, oh, screw that, my book, Mysteries of Wrestling South, is available at finer bookstores everywhere. That stupid fake voice, I hate it. I wrote a book along with Sir Adam Kleinberg called Mysteries of Wrestling. It has the questions that you wanted answered. Why does Steve Austin hate Jeff Jarrett? Are referees really blind and stupid and dumb? Who is actually the toughest wrestler in the business outside of the ring? Hulk Hogan, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kamala. We get down and dirty with insider facts you've never read about anywhere else. So what are you waiting for? It makes a great stocking stuffer. You're too short, you buy three of them, you get tall, you just stand on them. Mysteries of Wrestling Solved by ECW Press, written by Sir Adam Kleinberg and Adam the Phantom Nadelman. Available everywhere. It's done. The plug is done. I'm done. I didn't sell it well enough. There's naked pictures of China in there. Okay? Thank you.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back here with you at Wrestling Weekly, guys. On the line right now is our featured guest. He runs and owns the show over at Ring of Honor. Gabe Sapolsky's on the program. Gabe, thanks for being on with us tonight.
Thank you very much for having me on.
And Gabe, since we last talked to you, you've expanded international greatness now.
Yeah, we had a very good tour of England back in August. We did two shows over there. And the one night we sold out real fast. It was a smaller building, about 500 people. But the other night, I forgot the final numbers, but we had over 1,000 people in Liverpool, and it was just a great experience. And we had fans from all over Europe come over, and I was talking to a lot of fans. A lot of them drove from like 5-7 hours away and really traveled to see us. So it was really an international event. It was a great thing for the company.
And now I know you're going back to England in 07. Are you planning on expanding into other parts of Europe too?
There's been talks about certain other places. Nothing seems too close to happening now, but we were able to pay up, you know, pull off this England trip, so if we're able to do that, then we can pretty much go anywhere. But we're definitely looking into other places.
Good. The one match that jumped off the page at me, and I happen to see just outtakes of it on your tube or my tube or whatever tube.
YouTube.
was Nigel and Brian.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that you've known Nigel for a long time.
Yeah, well, I started as a little young butt in the business. The one thing that I saw, and I told him, and I'm sure that you didn't push for this, for them to what basically I'll say is one toke over the line, him bouncing his head off that ring post numerous times. I told him if I ever saw him do that again, if it didn't kill him, I would.
That actually played off his first match that he had for us, which I believe you were there that night. I think it was in Wilmington, Ohio, and it was something that happened accidentally. And I think he was wrestling Cody Hawk on that show.
Yeah.
And so it was his debut, and to me, what that showed was his toughness. And obviously, you know, you don't order the guys to go out there and do that, and you don't want on a regular basis. But like, it definitely showed his toughness, and it won me over that night. And it came back to when we were in England, he wanted to do something really special for that show, and that's what he decided to do. He really wanted to make himself. And I'll tell you what, Nigel, in just the last 6 months, has shown so much improvement, and you can see it in his confidence in the ring now, too. I mean, he's really become a guy that you can build the whole company around, and I really think that he's going to have a huge year next year. I think that next year is going to really be that breakout year that he's been waiting for. He's right at the cusp of the main event right now, and I think he can easily become the main event.
You know what? I think that's so great. When he first came to visit me when he was up at Kent State, was an exchange student over here, you could see just what a passion he had for the business. And then if any of you guys happened to see that when we were on ABC's 2020 a few years ago, he was one of the people that was interviewed, and he actually got tears in his eyes, you know, when he was talking about how much he loved the business and how much he wanted, you know, to be a part of it. And for those who don't know, you know, he has a degree in chemistry, a college degree in chemistry, so it's not like he can't go out and get a good paying job. But, I can't think of a guy that's paid more dues or that I'd be more happy to see, you know, him really, you know, get a hell of a break somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely deserves all the success that he's going to get. And I think something that's really going to get him over soon is when people see the new DVDs that are coming out and Nigel's new promo style. His promo before the Marufuji match that he had in our DVD that just came out from New York City was just such an emotional and heartfelt promo. And we're probably going to go in that direction now with his promos, and I think that'll get him to the next level, too. Like, up until this point, his promos have been pretty entertaining, and you know, he's been kind of joking around a little bit, and but now he's taking a more serious tone, and they're just really, really heartfelt, emotional promos, and I think that's going to be part of what really breaks him out as a guy that can carry the promotion next year.
I think that's great. I think that's great. And while we're on those particular two guys, Danielson's been working hurt, and what is the status on him anyway?
He's been working in a lot of pain. It's actually very depressing after every single one of his matches. Every single one of his matches is the same. He has a fantastic match out there. He comes back, and you just see the pain on his face, and he just sits there, and you just see how much pain he's in, and he ices his shoulder down. And the thing about him is I even offered him a leave or any kind of an aspirin. He won't even take any of that. He just sits there, and he rides it out, and it's just like every match he has now is just the same scene in the locker room afterwards. So he is working through a lot of pain right now, and you know, if he didn't have the belt, I doubt that he would be working right now, but he realizes as champion, he's sucking it up, and it's all his decision. He's fighting through it, and he really is a legend in the making right now, not just for the matches that he has, but for the whole attitude that he brings to the locker room and what he's fighting through right now. And if people had any idea of what it was, they would just have so much respect for him. And I think that people have somewhat of an idea, but until you see him after every match and just that look of pain on his face and the fact that it's not getting better and he's living with it and it's something that he wants to do, and I don't know what, I've really tried to figure out what drives him, but I haven't been able to. But it is just something else to see, and people are going to look back at this year 5 years from now, and it's really going to be something of a legend.
Yeah, I agree. I think the guy is just phenomenal. I enjoy watching him work, and I hope that the injury comes around in one way or the other, and he's got a long, long, successful career.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I made sure was that the career is not a career-threatening injury. It's something where once he gets it taken care of, it'll be fine. And once he gets it taken care of, it's not gonna leave him out any more amount of time than it would be right now. So once he does get it taken care of, he'll be back 100%.
I want to get your opinion on this. This was brought to me just a couple weeks ago, and someone was talking about Ring of Honor and ECW, and saying, well, you know, I had mentioned that to me, Ring of Honor is the alternative style. I mean, not the 130-pound flip-flop and flyers, but, you know, the Danielsons and then the Nigel McGuinnesses and you know, the Samoa Joes and the Punks and the guys who put the 40 minutes in and the 60 minutes. And that's what I enjoy seeing. And they said, well, you know, why aren't they on TV and going national? And I said, well, I think Gabe actually, by sitting at the knee of Paul, learned that you can overexpand your horizons, and I think you and Kerry are probably pretty happy with what you've got right now. Wouldn't that be the case?
Yeah, I mean, right now the company's sustaining itself, which is important. I mean, nobody's getting rich in the company, which is, of course, you know, you would like to make some money at some point.
Sure.
So we're at a good point right now. The one thing that Heyman always said about the old ECW, and this always stuck in my mind, is that he would always say that they were too small to be big and too big to be small. And it really got to that point, because once you get on TV the way that it was on TNN or whatever it's called back in the day, you do reach that point, because you have to sign guys to contracts, you have to spend more money, and you're still not taking in more money. So that's one thing I want to be very careful of, is not for ROH to get to the point where it is too small to be big and too big to be small, because then you're really doomed. You're really in a can't win.
Yeah, that's... well, you guys, I mean, of course, your whole thing is fueled by your DVD sales, which are actually worldwide now, right?
Yeah, I mean, we made a point. We get very high-quality DVDs made up. They play anywhere in the world, so we don't have any region problems. And we do a lot of orders over to Europe. We'd like to do more orders in Japan. For some reason, I don't buy DVDs. But we do sales all over the world, so that definitely does carry us. I mean, it's real tough to make money off the live events, so you really are dependent on those DVD sales. And unfortunately, the one problem, I think, is that there's only a certain amount of people that are going to buy DVDs from a smaller wrestling company. So we're probably reaching all those people right now, but it does keep slowly and slowly growing. It's just at a very, very slow pace.
Well, you know, I think the thing, one of the things that you're doing, too, we were talking about this earlier in the show, that I think, well, we were talking about Angle and Joe and TNA, and I said, does everybody want to see it? Yes. Do I want to see it? Yes. But I think they're rushing it. To me, this is it wouldn't happen in my company until March or April, or maybe even a little later. And I think one of the things that you do and keeps the DVD sales going is that you stretch your storylines out and make the people want more. And I think that's the psychology of the business, whether it's today or 40 years ago, that's missing in the bigger companies.
Yeah, I totally agree with you there. And it's part of the position that we're in, too, is, I mean, TNA is in a completely different position than us, where they have to draw a rating next week. They have to draw that next pay-per-view buy rate. So they have a lot of pressure. And when you have that kind of pressure, you can tend to hotshot things. But we don't have that pressure at all. We have the luxury of we don't have any kind of rating to draw. We don't have any kind of pay-per-view buy rate to draw. We have to keep our DVD sales up. But my belief is, as long as you have great matches, that's the most important thing, and you have some good storylines going underneath, people are going to keep buying the DVDs. So all we have to do is keep producing the great matches, which when you have the talent pool we have, it's very easy just to match two guys up and give it a simple story and have a great match out of it. But at the same time, it does allow us the luxury of doing things like having very long and drawn-out storylines. So that is definitely an advantage to not being on TV for us.
Don't you think that, like, they're being in bed financially with Spike is a double-edged sword? First, obviously, it helps them because they can sign Sting or sign Angle. But then on the other hand, they've got people who really don't understand the business kind of putting their 2 cents where they say, well, gee, we'd like to see this, when whatever they want to see maybe is not what should be out there.
Yeah, and also when you tend to get network people involved is they might think that Randy Savage is the biggest wrestling star on the planet right now, so they want Randy Savage, even though you and I both know that he's not going to draw a lot. Same with a certain other person that's a TNA right now, which I'm not going to get into names, but there's definitely people that you get into where the network knows the name from 7 years ago or 8 years ago or something, and they want that guy on, and you have to use him, basically.
Yeah.
So, again, you know, that's another advantage that we have with just being a self-sustaining DVD company, is that we don't have to answer to anybody. We answer to ourselves and to our fan base, and as long as the fans like what we're doing, we're going to keep doing well. So, basically, we don't have those kind of pressures. But, I mean, there's a lot of pressure once you go on the network. You got to keep delivering that rating, and there's not a lot of patience in the TV industry these days.
What do you think of the current ECW? And we all know it's watered down. It's never going to be what it was before. What do you think of the current product?
I actually think that it's a really good show. I think that it's a real good one-hour show. I think they need a little more talent there. It's great to see CM Punk in the opportunity. It's obviously been a huge opportunity for CM Punk, probably more so than anybody else, because he's really gotten a chance to shine, and he's got somebody booking him, Paulie, who understands him and understands his character and everything. So I think that, I think it's been a good show. I just think, you know, they need a little more talent. But I've enjoyed it. I mean, obviously, it's nothing like the old ECW, and you're watching a WWE product. But as long as you go into the show realizing that you're watching a WWE product, I think that you'll find it's a good hour of TV.
Yeah, I think it's better paced. With TNA at the end of that hour, I always feel like I'm on speed. With ECW, it moves enough to keep you interested, but yet slow enough that you understand how the characters and the storylines are evolving.
Yeah, the one thing that really amazes me at the ECW show is the fact that at the end of the hour, you remember everything that happened on the show, and it's still, there's a lot of guys who are given an opportunity to get their character over, and everything sticks. And I think that's something that might be lacking on the TNA show right now.
Well, you know, I was saying to Doc about, we were talking before we went on the air tonight about the pull-aparts, and I said, you know, Don West goes crazy, Angle and Joe are having a pull-apart. And I said, yeah, and so did Christian and Rhino, and so did America's Most Wanted and LAX. And I think the two concessionaires had a pull-apart. So everybody's had a pull-apart. Nobody cares.
Yeah, and, I mean, the one thing that drives me crazy, too, is that there's usually not an ending. They usually just cut away. And to me, you need an ending on those kind of things. You can't just cut away the commercial because there is no ending other than the two guys are getting pulled apart.
Yeah.
Right. Gabe, one of your guys is being looked at by WWE. That's the report that's going on right now about Claudio Castagnoli. I'm getting conflicting reports that he's already signed a developmental deal. What's the story on that?
He hasn't signed as far as I know, unless he signed a contract today or yesterday. I haven't talked to him in a couple of days. But I definitely, I can see how WWE would be interested in him. He's a tall guy. He's a natural athlete. He's got a great physique and it's natural. And he's a great talent, so I can definitely see why they're interested, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him go.
And he's a snazzy dresser, too.
Yeah. He knows, he understands how to pull off a gimmick and the importance of having a gimmick and a character, so that's another big plus over there.
Absolutely. We got some questions going on in the chat room right now. Chris the Crusher has a question for you. He wants to know how Jim Cornette is.
Jim Cornette is absolutely awesome to deal with. He came to the show early last Saturday and gave everyone a seminar in tag team wrestling, and some of the guys used those spots on the show, and it got the crowd reaction they said it was going to be, so it was great having him there to pass on his knowledge. He just pretty much finished up his run for us for now. We had about a 1-year run with him as commissioner, and we did some cool stuff with that, and he cut some great promos. But now it's time to take a little breather, and he's having some health problems and everything, so he was on the road an awful lot too much. So, you know, we'll see what happens in the future, but we just had a really, really great run with us, and he was just so helpful in the locker room, and I learned from him constantly, and the whole roster did, and I think it's real important to have somebody like that there, or else all that stuff gets lost. That's when we had Ricky Steamboat in, and Les can tell you how great Steamboat is at, mm-hmm. at teaching stuff, and it just makes the entire roster better. It makes the entire show better.
Jimmy Bob Jeffs has two questions. He said, are you still friends with Paul Heyman? And why doesn't Ring of Honor have a commentary table in the arena live?
We have the commentary done in post-production, so there's no point in having a commentary table live. And I still talk to Paul on occasion.
DiCapo says, will Chris Hero ever get a shot in the big time?
Well, he's in Ring of Honor right now. I don't know what's much bigger than that. So the answer is yes, and he's made the most of it.
Good answer. CCLM76 says, any chance of Ring of Honor hitting Canada?
Canada's tough because it's tough to get everything over the border with all the merchandise and everything.
Right.
Although we do have a good following there, so I would definitely like to see it happen. It's just very, very tough to cross the border.
Do you plan on using any more British wrestlers in Ring of Honor?
I keep waiting for an opportunity to get Doug Williams back. I would love to have Doug Williams in for another run. It's just we haven't had the right opportunity yet to do so, but I'm sure that'll happen at some point. And I'm actually looking more and more into the British talent. I'm not as familiar with it as I should be, but I keep trying to watch more and more DVDs from Britain.
Chris in the chat room, he says he's just finding out now about Ring of Honor, and he would like to know, in your words, what's different about it and what's good about Ring of Honor, what's different about it.
The main thing that's different is that we're promoting pro wrestling. We're the only group that's really promoting pure wrestling and all types of pro wrestling too. So when you come to Ring of Honor, you're going to see the guys going 30 minutes, 60 minutes. You're going to see shorter matches that are filled with a lot of the flying and that kind of stuff. You're going to see every variety, but you're going to see it without any external pressures. We basically just let the guys go into the ring and cut them loose, and they do their thing, and everyone tries to steal the show.
Jimmy Bob Jeff says, if Ring of Honor ended, would you ever work for WWE in any way?
Well, I mean, I'd need to make money, and it would take a lot of money, but... Yeah.
Of course. What influence has the internet demographic had in your publicity strategies?
Oh, well, the internet is hugely important. I mean, it's obviously the most important thing with us. That's where we got most of our fans, and that's where word of mouth is spread, and it's a great marketing tool. And we actually have up now free videos up on ROHvideos.com and on YouTube, like Les was saying earlier, where people can come and watch us for free. And basically, what we try to do is a show. We call it the ROH Video Wire. It's in 10-minute segments, and we put some matches on there, some promos, different things every week, but it's just like a continuous TV show. Of course, it doesn't end, but it's not on TV. It's on the Internet, and you can watch it for free.
Awesome. I had a question about the whole Jimmy Jacobs and his videos. How did that come about?
That's all Jimmy Jacobs. He deserves all the credit there. He sent me that first video, and it was absolutely genius, so we just ran with the ball. That's one thing. You do sometimes as a booker is you know your talent, and when they come up with something and it's great, you run with it. Not everything has to be your idea.
Yeah. Are you still going to be putting any more videos out by him, or are you just you don't want to oversaturate it?
Yeah, I mean you have to be careful about oversaturating it, and at the same time, the first video he did was so tremendous, and he did another one that was also tremendous, and it's like you don't want to force it out of him. If the right things there for a video and the right situations there and he has the song done and everything works, then you do it, but it's not the kind of thing that you feel like you have to force. I'm definitely not a believer in trying to force things. It really has to feel right in your gut in order for it to work.
Absolutely.
We were talking about Claudia possibly going to WWE earlier, and a couple of the guys who have been in WWE developmental and have actually been up to the dance, Brett Albright and Tank Tolan, debuted with Ring of Honor in Dayton the last time around. How'd those guys do?
They both did really well. Tank Tolan was in a four-way, and he looked good. He didn't have as much of a chance to impress as Brent Albright did, so I'm going to make sure he's got some good singles matches coming up to see what he can do. And Brent Albright definitely won the crowd over, and he's a guy that I have some high hopes for the upcoming months.
Yeah, I just, you know what, I thought it was kind of funny. I know the rumor is that they said, well, he's too much like Benoit, but of course that was the gimmick that they gave him.
Yeah, it's from what I heard, he got caught in the political system, and not that he was doing anything wrong in that way, and that it just did not work out for him. It wasn't the right time and place. But one thing I've learned with WWE is they hire everyone back eventually, including Too Cold Scorpio. So even if it takes 7 years, you get hired back eventually. So hopefully we can have a nice run with Brent for 6 to 12 months, and I'm sure they'll sign him back at that point.
Absolutely. Your next show is coming up on the 24th, is that correct?
Yeah, we're in Long Island on the 24th and Edison, New Jersey on the 25th.
And you've got Samoa Joe and Jay Briscoe going at it.
Yeah, we have some good shows coming on both nights. Long Island, we just have a real solid show from start to finish. You got to go in with a lot of action into Long Island, so that's what we're going to give them on the 24th. And the 25th is a big one because that's our last Northeast show until we hit the New York show. We do have Connecticut the night before New York, but that's our last show to really build things up for the big December 23rd New York show where Homicide finally gets his title shot. So we'll have some good stuff planned for the 25th in Edison.
This whole thing with pro wrestling Noah has worked out tremendously well for you as well as for them. I mean, it's given their guys exposure at a whole different level over here. But I don't think there's been a bad match out of that whole bunch, has there?
No, not at all. The Noah relationship is one of the best things we have going in Ring of Honor right now, and it's a very strong relationship. It's worked out very well for both sides. Obviously, we had Kent in for a long run this year, and it ended with that title match against Bryan Danielson in September in New York that just came out on DVD, and it's absolutely my front runner for match of the year, and I think you can even call it the best match in ROH history. So that obviously paid off for us. We have great publicity in Japan now, and that's led to some positive things for us over in Japan, and hopefully will lead to more positive things in the future. And for NOAA, I mean, it's a big deal for their guys to come over to America and get that star treatment and the star atmosphere. And with our lighting and the atmosphere on our DVDs and everything, these guys look like that they're stars in America when they come over here. So it's paid off for them. And now they have Brian Danielson doing their next tour, and Danielson just pinned Kenta, who's one of the top two or three stars in NOAA, and they put that on their TV, or he made them submit, but they put that on their TV. So now when Brian goes over there, he goes over there with a reputation. So it's been great for both sides, and Harley Race has really been instrumental in making it happen, and he's been so helpful, and now the relationship with us and NOAA is just extremely strong.
And of course, Nigel's been, he's been on like four tours over there, so he's also got that connection, which works out well, too.
Absolutely. Yeah, Nigel just spent a lot of time in October over there. He missed our shows for that, which is fine by me, and I think that he might be going back. I'm not sure, though, but Nigel's definitely a big part of it, too. And he just had that awesome match against Mayor Fuji on that New York show also for the PHC title.
What, you know, that was, everyone's talking about how them putting their belt on Mayor Fuji, and no one ever expected him to do that.
And it was definitely some interesting booking on their part. I mean, they're trying to make their next generation of stars, and right now the next generation of stars are junior heavyweights, so they're going for it. So it takes a lot of guts, and something I respect about their booking, and they've really done a great job of it.
Professor VNS has an interesting question in the chat room. He says, is there any entertainment value in purposely hiring guys that you know the Ring of Honor fans will boo out of the building? He mentioned some names like Zach Gowen, Jeff Hardy, Conan, or Teddy Hart.
Yeah, I mean, there is definitely a place for that. We had Zach Gowen on our Detroit show, and we taped a match with him and Delirious that we put up on the website, and the whole idea of that was to show Delirious going over a guy who has a reputation from WWE, and, you know, it gives Delirious more credibility than going over some guy that nobody's ever heard of, and it also sets Delirious up as a babyface. And we did something similar on Saturday. I knew that Tank Toland might have a little bit of difficulty with the Philadelphia crowd, and Pelly Primo, who they've been watching grow up in the business for a couple of years now. He was a student from our wrestling school, and he finally got the big win over Tank Toland, and the place went nuts. And if it was someone other than Tank Toland, Pelly Primo might not have gotten that reaction. So there's definitely a place for it.
Of course, Philadelphia, God has trouble getting over, right?
Yeah, Philadelphia's the toughest town, and Tank Toland comes in, and he looks like a WWE wrestler, which helps you everywhere else in the business except for Ring of Honor. So I knew that the crowd would give him a little bit of a hard time, and it was the right guy for Pelly to go over. And Tank completely got it, too. I mean, I'll give him a lot of credit there. He completely got it, and he's got a very good head on his shoulders.
Do you have any plans to bring back the Pure title or maybe another title?
No, and we might have a title, another title. I don't want to give away too much, but the Pure title is the kind of thing where it completely ran its course. Nigel did an absolutely phenomenal job with it, getting over the rules. But the rules are like a gimmick, and as Les will tell you, every gimmick runs its course, and basically after Nigel's reign with the Pure title, there's nowhere else to go with it, and we'd run out of ways to do cool count-out finishes and that kind of stuff, so it's time to put it to bed.
Absolutely. Gabe, I want to thank you for being on tonight, and hopefully we'll get you back on the show down the road and find out what's going on more about Ring of Honor, what you got coming up in the future, and things like that. Guys, check it out. It's ROHWrestling.com, and you can also check out the videos and the internet show that he spoke about, the TV
ROH Video Wire.
Sort of TV show. Yeah, the Video Wire, over at ROHVideos.com, guys. Gabe, take it easy, and we wish you luck.
Thank you very much.
Gabe, look forward to seeing you next time you guys are around this way, and tell Kerry we'll sit down and kick over the old days.
Definitely, Les. Always a pleasure.
All right, my pleasure, my friend.
Thank you.
That's going to about wrap things up for us, guys. We're going to be getting out of here. Don't forget to join us next Tuesday, of course, again. I think I lost somebody. Are you still there, Les? Okay, hold on. Let's get him out of there.
What a way to wrap. Doc?
Yeah, there we go. Now we got it.
Okay.
I had to get rid of him. I don't know why I did that. But anyway, we're going to wrap things up. Join us next Tuesday, of course, from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern time. Enjoy ECW. It's coming up on Sci-Fi right now.
Do we know who's going to be with us next week? Or is?
Not yet. Keep checking out the website.
The winner is...
yeah, www.wrestlingweekly.com. Thanks to, of course, WrestleTalk Radio for all their help tonight. Coming up next on the Showdown Network, it's WNL Classics. They are going to have a Jeff Jarrett show, one of their old classic shows with, of course, Jeff Jarrett. So stick around for that. Les,
Doc,
I've said a mouthful tonight. We've had a good show.
Okay, very good. And we'll see everybody next week.
Absolutely. Bye, guys.
Ain't no stopping me, no! Respect, throw me anything, I'll pass that test. Believing in yourself, man, changes everything. Yeah, I want it all, I'm taking the brass ring. Call me underdog, you can call me anything. I got a lot of blessings, that's what faith brings.
You can't rob a man,
no stop.
You can't rob a man,
no stop.
You can't rob a man,
good drop.
Ain't no stopping me, no.
Wanna start something, think ahead and start something. Anytime, any place, dog, it's nothing. I'm coming from the bottom on my way to the top. And if things get hard, I still won't stop. See, the ambition is what keeps me going. Faith and the blessings what keeps me knowing. That I'll get it one day, man, you'll see. I'ma just be all the best I can be.
You can't rob a man,
no stop.
You can't rob a man,
no stop.